Welcome this morning. How are we all doing? It's a very exciting time for us. You know, this morning we're just going to set aside what we're doing, but it's still part of what we're doing because all in all together, our prayers, our worship, our praise, our preaching is all part and parcel of who we are and what we do. We don't separate them. And so this morning, I just want to talk a little bit about children. So boys and girls, you need to listen this morning because this is for you especially. And we hope that mommy and daddy are going to pay attention too. And they're going to listen up and they're going to get to go, oh yeah. Do you know Jesus said, well, first of all, turn in your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 9, please. Mark chapter 9. Great book of the Bible. The book of Mark. Or Mark. That book, yes. It's a great book. You know, this morning we also need to understand because of who we are and what. You know, we did these amazing cards for you to take and go out and invite your friends with and your family, and we did the whole thing on the oikos. But you know what, boys and girls? This is for you too. This is for the kids as well. Because they are not only the invited, they are the invitees. And so I want you to take some of these and go and hand them out to your friends at school and invite them. Because you're much part of what we are doing. Isn't it cool, this whole section set up for them? Okay, some of you get it. I'm worried about some of the parents who didn't say yes. I know who you are and I know where you live. Let me just keep talking to the kids. Do you know when I was a young boy, pretty much your age, when I used to go to church, because my mom and dad sent me to Sunday school, they didn't bring me to Sunday school. And you know what the pastor used to say to us as children every Sunday? He said, children, go home and invite your mommy and daddy to come to church with you. And you bring them to Sunday school. You bring them to church. And who knew that I would be such an obedient child? And I used to go home like this little guppy every Sunday. And I'd say, Mommy, Daddy, the pastor said, don't send me to Sunday school. You must bring me to Sunday school. And you know what the net result of that was? I have three siblings and I had two parents. They're both with Jesus at the moment. My parents were both saved because of that. My younger brother got saved, my older sister got saved, and my baby sister eventually got saved. And the point I'm making is the power of invite. And it's not just for us, it's for you guys as well. So I want to encourage the children to be invitees as well. Do you know, church, our meetings on a Sunday is probably 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock, so that's 2 hours. You can do the sums on this one, but do you know for a fact, and statistics tell us, that in the United States of America, every 40 seconds, a child goes missing? Just let that sink in for a while. Every 40 seconds, a child goes missing. And of course, my head can't get around that. I'm like, what are the parents thinking, for goodness sake? Aren't they paying attention to where their children are, what their children are doing? I'm not talking about teenagers running away. I'm talking about kids this age go missing. By the time we are finished here today, over, 200 children? 200 children in the United States would have gone missing. We have to be diligent about raising our children. They are a gift from God. Some parents think that Sunday school is a place where you come and you drop your children and then I can go into and do my thing. Well, I want to burst your little bubble today. It's not. I know I'm going to get some amens from the teachers here. Worse still, we think that school, normal school, public school, is where our kids are getting raised. The way our children get biblically and spiritually and physically and socially and mentally raised is the home. It's in the home where it happens. The fact that they come here is a wonderful opportunity for us to build into their lives at their level. so that they can come and teach us something sometimes. And I bet you they do. I was just thinking in worship while we sing all these amazing songs, and I don't know who the youngest pop idol is of the day that affects these children. I don't know their names. Help me, Bruce. Yeah, that's the only name I came up with. Justin Bieber. Well, the other name, Jay, Jesus, does he get spoken about more than Justin Bieber? I'm just thinking. Now, I'm going to read you an article this morning, and this is especially for moms and parents with smaller kids. I read this thing. I put it up on our Facebook page. I doubt too many read it, but I want to read it this morning. I've read it a couple of times, and it touched my heart so amazing, and I thought, yes, that's what our church is all about. This is who we are. And so I want to do away with any thoughts, any lies in your head this morning where you think that if my child makes a noise in church, the pastor and the elders are going to be cross or they're going to be mad with me. And I hope this article ministers to you parents. It's written by a pastor's wife, and then she says, "Dear parents with young children in church, you are doing something really, really important. I know it's not easy. I see you with your arms overflowing, and I know you came to church already tired. Parenting is tiring. Really tiring." Okay? You're supposed to be... There we go. Now we're getting it. "I watch you bounce and sway, trying to keep the baby quiet, juggling the infant car seat and the diaper bag as you find a seat. I see you wince as your child cries out. I see you anxiously pull things out of your bag of tricks to try to quieten them. And I see you with your toddler and your preschooler. I watch you cringe when your little girl asks an innocent question in a voice that might not be an inside voice, let alone a church whisper. I hear the exasperation in your voice as you beg your child to just sit still, to be quiet, as you feel everyone's eyes on you. Parents, not everyone is looking at you, but I know that it feels that way. I know you're wondering, is this worth it? Why do I bother? I know you often leave church more exhausted than fulfilled. But what you are doing is so really, really important." By now I should be getting a few amens. And "when you are here, the church is filled. When you are here, the church is filled with a joyful noise. When you are here, the body of Christ is more fully present. When you are here, we are reminded that this worship thing we do isn't about Bible study or personal quiet contemplation, but coming together to worship as a community where all are welcome, where we share in the word and the sacraments together. When you are here, I have hope that these pews won't be empty in 10 years when your kids are old enough to sit quietly and understand and behave in worship. I know that they are learning how and why we worship now before it's too late. They are learning that worship is important. I see them learning in the midst of the cries, the whines, and the giggles, in the midst of the crinkling of the pretzel bags and the growing pile of crumbs. I see a little girl who insists on going two pews up to share peace with someone she's never met. I hear a little boy slurping quite loudly every last drop of his communion wine out of the cup, determined not to miss a drop of Jesus. I watch a child excitedly color across and point to the one in the front of the sanctuary." Well, not here. "I hear the echoes of amens just a few seconds after the rest of the community says it together. I watch a boy just learning to read try to sound out the words in the worship book or count his ways to the hymn 672. Even on weeks when I can't see my own children learning because, well, it's one of those mornings, I can see your children learning. I know how hard it is to do what you are doing, but I want you to know it matters. It matters to me. It matters to my children. It matters that you are not alone in the pew. It matters to the congregation to know that families care about faith, to see young children, and even on those weeks when you can't see the little moments, it matters to your children. It matters that they learn the worship is what we do as a community of faith, that everyone is welcome, that their worship matters. When we teach children that their worship matters, we teach them that they are enough right here and right now as members of this church. They don't need to wait until they can believe, pray, or worship a certain way to be welcome here. And I know adults who are still looking to be shown that it means that children learn that they are an integral part of this church, that their prayers, their songs, and even their badly or perfectly timed, depending on who you ask, of course, cries and whines are a joyful noise because it means they are present. I know it's hard. And this is not just the article. This is heartfelt from myself and from Bridget and the eldership of this church. I know it's hard, but thank you for what you do when you bring your children to church. Please know that your family, with all its noise, with all its struggle, with its commotions and joy, are not simply tolerated. You are a vital part of the community gathered in worship. I think it's this woman, she needs an ovation. But as I read this article, the more I read it, the more I realized, man, sometimes we've got it so wrong. In worship, when we hear the baby cry, I don't know, there was a baby doing its amen thing after we'd already done ours early, and I just started to laugh in the front. You can't see my face because my back's to you, but I just started to giggle. I thought, that is so cool. Because we know they are learning. And I just want to say to the parents, we must learn and teach our children to worship as a family. Because your careers, the media, the norms, the cultural norms, they separate families and pull them apart. This is a time when we can come together and they can watch mommy and daddy. They can watch you, emulate you in worship. Not be doing other stuff. You need to teach them that. This is when we come together. This is what we're doing. This is why we're excited about Jesus. And then they want to go and run and wonderful. Don't worry about it. And if they're a little bit noisy during worship time, then they're noisy. Maybe they're just vocalizing their joy of being in church. And you're going, well, it's not done that way. We don't do it that way. Well, what way do we do it? How is a four-year-old meant to worship? Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. I'm a living product of that proverb. I didn't turn out too bad. Teach your children how to worship. Dialed out dads and moms are not helpful. Can I just reiterate this point? If during worship, moms and dads, you are sitting there bored out of your skull, your kid will get that. And they will get that when we come to worship, it's boring. And then we're going to have to do, or you're going to have to do a whole bunch of things to entertain them. But if they see mom and dad engaged in worship, they get that the king is important. They get that Jesus is important. They get that that's how we worship. Not that we do stuff by rote. Singing songs by rote is for other people, it's not for us. We worship the king. We declare our voices and our songs to him in prayerful declarations. I want to tell you that children sometimes have more spiritual insight into things than you granted to them and that you actually do as parents. I'll tell a story about my... let's not do that. Okay, where are we? Training the children to worship is a means of spiritual discipline for them. Maybe some of us as kids never learned ourselves. And that's why we're so undisciplined when it comes to worship. We think it's a boring part and we don't need to be there for that part. Parents, be like children in relationship to God and be like God in relationship to children. Mark chapter 9, I told you to go there, trust you there. Verse 33, the disciples have been going along and they're arguing about who is the greatest. Just like competitive infants. And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What are you discussing on the way?" As if he didn't know. But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." You want greatness in the kingdom? There you go. There's your product for you. And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me not, but him who sent me." When we reject someone who's ministering or an ambassador for Christ, we don't get rejected. "Well, I feel so bad I got rejected. They slammed the door in my face. They wouldn't take my card. They wouldn't accept my invite." No. That's right. Remember one of the because of's, invite because of, because they don't understand, because they're spiritually blind? The point is, though, is that they're rejecting God. They're not rejecting you. So you should be free from that thing and go, "Wow." Because otherwise there's another little word that starts with P that comes into the whole thing called pride. "Well, they rejected me and they weren't listening to me and they wouldn't." Anyway. Often in a seemingly adult world, children are often neglected. And I hope you hear my heart this morning. We will never, ever, never, ever, ever, never, ever, ever, never, never, ever neglect a child in this body of believers. That's why I love it when kids come up and give prophetic words. I love it when they come up and pray. And that's why I don't like us to clap, because we get all cutified. And we go like the disciples did later on. We get into this ageism thing. "Oh, isn't it cute?" No, it's not cute. It's a word from God for us. Pay attention. Greatness in receiving are those when children come, and normally they are the weaker ones, they are the defenseless ones, and they are the dependent ones. And we need to make sure that their weakness is made strong, that they are dependent on us, and that's why we, otherwise you wouldn't have a child missing every 40 seconds in the United States. Mark chapter 10, verse 13. At least that one's saying amen. "And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them." They fell foul of what I call ageism. "They're just the children, just get away, they're not that important." What was Jesus' attitude? "But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." Not when they grow up, not when they hit 14, not when they hit puberty, not when they get their passage of rite, not when they get to high school, not when they get to varsity, not when they're smart enough, tall enough, short enough, thin enough, fat enough, whatever enough. To such belongs the kingdom. And he was talking about kids normally under the age of 12. If you go and study the Greek, you'll see that. "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child should not enter it. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. Janine, you should get ready to whoop this one up. Spiritual fitness for ministry in the kingdom is the litmus test when we say we need people to help with children's church. And nobody puts their hand up. "Well, I have another ministry." Jesus just helped us see how important these kids are. Jesus just showing us how important he saw them. Jesus values children. Jesus invites children. Jesus embraces children. Besides your own, how are we doing this morning, of course? Jesus obviously was a child himself. We need to understand that. For unto us a child is born, unto us a child is given, the government shall be upon his shoulders. I'm not going to read all the scriptures, I'm just run out of time. We want to give essence to the ones that are important here this morning. I'm just going to read the headings I've got here. Jesus took children in his arms and blessed them. Jesus healed the child of a foreign woman. Jesus cast a demon out of a child. Jesus raised the child from the dead. Jesus used the child's loaves and fishes to feed 5,000. Jesus said, you should become like a child. And the point of that, so just to expound on that, was that we should be humble. We should be the weak ones. We should be the ones dependent on Jesus. We the ones who should be wondering what this is all about and allowing our Father in heaven and our brother Jesus and the Holy Spirit to minister to us. Not that, well, I've got this all waxed, I'm all smart, I'm a grown up now, you can't tell me what to do. Because God said. When Jesus came, children cried, Hosanna to the Son of David. Jesus predicted the terrible day when father would give their children up to death. And so on, and so on, and so on. Children are important to us at the Bridge. And that's why today we've set aside the whole meeting to honor and to welcome and to make a fuss of our children because they are so important.